I'm going to call this meeting to order. Staff Falls County Board of Supervisors for March 11, 2014. Please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have two presentations for you this morning. First one is our animals available for adoption from the Stanislaus Animal Services Agency. Stanislaus Animal Services Agency has many dogs and cats available for adoption. All of these animals are available for adoption at the shelter and are spayed, neutered, and have age-appropriate vaccinations and a microchip. Last month, we featured two pets, a cat named Miss Piggy, who was rescued on February 18th, and a dog named Lola, who was adopted out on March 1st. We have two additional pets here today that are available for adoption. Both cat and dog have similar markings. They are Ajax and Jojo. The cat, Ajax, you can see in the cage there, is our featured cat today. He is a beautiful short-haired orange tabby and white cat. He is approximately 2 years old, neutered, and microchipped. He has been with Stanislaus Animal Services Agency since January 4th and is looking for his forever home. Our featured dog today is Jojo. He is a tan and white terrier mix. He is approximately 4 months old and is neutered and microchipped. He has been with Stanislaus Animal Services Agency since January 30th and would love to be your new best friend. Both animals are available today for adoption at the Stanislaus Animal Services Agency. Please remember that adopting a new member to your family is a big commitment and that the shelter staff are there to help you meet your new best friend. To adopt either of these animals or other animals available, please visit the shelter at 3647 Cornucopia Way in Modesto or call the animal shelter at 558-7387. Adoptable animals can be viewed on the county's website at stancounty.com/animalservices. Okay, I hope these animals are adopted out today. Our second resolution today is a resolution commending Vanessa Zilpek, the Stanislaus County Librarian, upon her retirement from Stanislaus County. Mr. Risen, would you like to start?
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman DeMartini. This morning we'd like to take a few moments to recognize Vanessa Zilpek, our County Librarian, for her service to the county. Ms. Zilpek will be retiring later this month. Is my mic on?
Yeah.
Okay. Vanessa began her career in the county in March of 1996 as a branch coordinator and was appointed as county librarian in December 2001. Previous to Vanessa's career with Stanislaus County, she worked in libraries in Idaho, Oregon, New Mexico, Arizona, and ultimately landed here in her stomping grounds in California. Vanessa's a native Californian, born in Berkeley and raised in Southern California. She and her husband, Paul, who's in the audience with her this morning, have four daughters and two grandchildren. Vanessa earned her bachelor's degree in drama and journalism from California State University, Los Angeles, and a master's degree in library science from the University of Arizona. Additionally, Vanessa has had a number of articles published in professional publications. Vanessa is a member of the California Library Association, the Public Library Association, and the California County Libraries Association, where she previously served as president. She's currently affiliated with the League of Women Voters, the McHenry Museum, and the Historical Society. Vanessa is also a past president of the Modesto Kiwanis Club and a former member of the Havens Women's Center Board of Directors and the American Red Cross Stanislaus County Chapter Board of Directors. Vanessa has proven to be an effective leader for all branches of the county libraries by encouraging high customer service standards, training in all areas, communications, and creativity. Vanessa's interest to set a high customer service benchmark, set the tone for providing our community with high quality and effective library services. An example of her focus on providing outstanding community service and tenacity dates back to July of 1998. Vanessa read about a mystery shopper opportunity sponsored by the Modesto Chamber of Commerce and used mystery shoppers first in the downtown library and then out at the branches. The information from the mystery shoppers was helpful in assessing customer service trends, attitudes of staff, and the effectiveness of overall training. Through Vanessa's leadership and guidance, working with the Library Advisory Board, the Stanislaus Library Foundation, Friends of the Library, and various ad hoc committees, efforts were organized to support the renewal of the dedicated 1/8-cent sales tax that provides critical funding to our county library system. These renewals were approved by voters in 1999, 2004, and again in 2012. Originally enacted in 1994, Stanislaus County was the first county in the state to adopt a special tax earmarked for libraries, a funding model that has been duplicated in other counties since. Vanessa has a wonderful sense of humor, and she encourages teamwork and creates a very positive work environment for her team. One thought about Vanessa that stands out in my mind is her love of reading and how she fosters that passion with others through some of the simplest methods, including emails. If you've received an email from Vanessa, you'll know that she always ends it with a little commentary about the most recent book she's read. It's a gentle reminder for all of us to take time to enjoy a good book and to take a journey without leaving home. So Vanessa, thank you for your 18 years of dedicated public service to residents of Stanislaus County, 13 of which you've served as our county librarian. You'll be greatly missed, and we wish you well as you continue life's journey. Travel forward knowing that your mission to foster the love of reading and open the door of knowledge is a legacy that will live on. Thank you, Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa, will you come up here? I've got a resolution for you. Paul, you're welcome to come too if you like. Oh, Vanessa. Well, congratulations on your upcoming retirement. I don't want to drop this here, I'm going to hand this to you now before something happens to it. What I understand is you are an advocate of cut flowers, and you take flowers out of your yard, and so we have a vase for you to put them in every day, and it's inscribed there from Stanislaus County. So, you know, I'd suggested maybe using it with Ronald Reagan's jelly beans, too, would be okay, we'll just use it for the flowers, though. So. Well, you've always been a very strong advocate for the library. You're the voice of the library, and you've really worked hard at promoting the library and making it a better place. So I accommodate you for that. And you have 18 years of service. That's pretty good. So I have a resolution from the board. I think Stan read a lot of it, but I'm going to read the last part of the resolution. It says, therefore, be it resolved that the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby commend Vanessa Zopek, County Librarian, upon her retirement for her exceptional services and commitment to Stanislaus County and its residents. So thank you very much for your service. I'm going to give you more time to drive the Porsche now to there. I'll never forget when we took that thing through the Diablo Range. My Ferrari could hardly keep up with it, so I certainly changed my opinion about Porsches. They are fast. Okay, well, congratulations there, and hope you enjoy your retirement, and maybe someday we'll drive through that range again. I got to practice a little bit more to keep up with you. That thing just flies, I'll tell you. I was very impressed with it. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And
thank you.
Would you like to say a few words?
Yeah, I would love to.
You get the last word here.
Actually, I have a short story to tell you. You all know how stories start? Once upon a time, exactly. Well, once upon a time, in the county of Stanislaus, in what seems eons and eons ago, but actually it was only 13 years, Lady Vanessa was appointed county librarian. The years were eventfully filled. The people of the land cried out, huzzah, huzzah, when they received free wireless in their libraries. And then when they received free information databases, huzzah, huzzah. And then e-books and quality children's programs and passport services and a virtual branch. Well, there was joy and celebration as they were able to pick up and return their library books to any branch. Alas, there were also grave perils, such as the recession, fires, floods, belly dancing, and sales tax elections. And through it all, the library stayed the course, remaining true to its sacred mission of providing free access to information for one and all. This legendary feat was accomplished by the magical zeal of a hearty band of focused, friendly employees who had a steadfast belief and excellent customer service. Many were their accomplishments, and their praises were sung loudly throughout the county of Stanislaus. Long may they live, long may they serve, said Lady Vanessa proudly. Well, one day, it came to pass that Lady Vanessa, with the blessings of her dear, sweet, supportive husband, Paul, realized that her transformational work was done. It was time to pass on the mighty sword of intellectual freedom to another so that they could continue the fight of the age-old battle against censorship and darkness and ignorance and illiteracy. She felt strongly that it had been an honor and a privilege to have served the people in the land of Stanislaus and their board of supervisors. Thus ends the tale, where Lady Vanessa retired to her castle keep with her dear sweet Paul, and they lived happily ever after. And stories end by saying, the end. Thank you.
That was wonderful. Practice going through that range at the end. You really impressed me with that car. My wife was just yelling at me. Well, congratulations again. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was fun. Okay, I'm gonna.
Mr. Chairman, might I comment?
Yeah, Supervisor Chiesa.
I just want to say thank you to Vanessa. She's put in a lot of really good years. She's been an excellent employee for us, leading the charge on the renewal of the sales tax, understanding the importance. But most importantly, it's her ability to convey the message that the libraries might be one of the single most important things that Stanislaus County does, providing a library system. I just wanted to point out that a few years ago, I have to tell the story, we were invited to Keys Elementary School, and there was a game, Are You Smarter Than a Sixth Grader? And it was essentially the sixth graders against adults. So we had a table, I think Jennifer Carlson, and Vanessa, and invited Vanessa, and she was smart enough to bring Paul along. And I got to tell you, no help from the supervisor from District 2 in that game for sure. Paul single-handedly lifted us up and carried us around that place. I think we got second place. Didn't we get second place? But thanks to the our librarian and her trusty steed, she's going to ride off into the sunset. So thank you for all those years. I had a great time doing things with you. And one last thing, there was on the reading component, she brought up there was the wisdom of the last farmer. That was one of the books that was read, and she had asked me to read the book. I think she'd asked all of us to read it. So I read it, and then she said, "Will you lead a book discussion?" And you know, you really have to read a book really well to lead a book discussion. And then I led two book discussions, and then it turned into three. A great experience for me. Thank you so much for what you've done for Stanislaus County.
Okay, well, congratulations again on your upcoming retirement. Give some thought about those jelly beans. I think that'd be nice. Okay, we will now move to public comment period. This is for the public to make comments on any item that is not on today's agenda. I have two requests to speak today. First, I have a Vernon Lee Price.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen of the council, City Council, ladies and gentlemen of Stanislaus County. My name is Vernon Price. I live at 1619 Timothy Avenue. And even though our county librarian is retiring this month, she'll always be my librarian because she takes the time to speak with a person, not to a person like she's speaking through them, not speaking at a person like she's speaking to them, but she meets a person on a common ground. She speaks with a person, making a person feel whole. When I first met her, reminded me of my communications professor at Fresno City College. I'd like to share with you just a moment with what that is. A well-spoken speaker started off his seminar holding up a $20 bill in the room of 200. He asked who would like this $20 bill. Hands started going up. He said, "I'm going to give you this $20 bill. But first, let me do this." He proceeded to crumble up the $20 bill. And then he asked, "Who still wants it?" Still the hands were up in the air. Well, he rippled it. "And what if I do this?" He dropped it on the ground and stepped on it and crumbled it up. "Who still wants it?" Still hands in the air. My friends, we have all learned a very valuable lesson. No matter what I did to the money, you still wanted it because it did not decrease in value. Please listen to this part here. It was still worth $20. Many times in our lives, we are dropped, crumbled, and ground into the dirt by the decisions I make and the circumstances that come my way. We may feel as though we are worthless, but no matter what happened or what will happen, you will never lose your value. This librarian makes a person feel like they've never lost any value. She treats a homeless person walking through that door just like it was a board of supervisor. So we have, at the end of this month, really lost a valuable person in this community as a worker. But we have had the time to value her values. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Price. And Carmen Sabatino.
Good morning, Jim, and members of the Board of Supervisors. I wanted to make you aware of a new committee that's been formed. It's called AccountableTaxation.com. You are about to ask people for more taxes for transportation. We're going to try and be in the business of making you accountable for whatever taxes you should happen to raise. Needless to say, I personally will not support the taxation measure that you're putting forward. Well, you haven't put forward anything yet. Is there something wrong? Or?
Yeah, that's just for the next item.
Thank you. I'd just like to address you on three topics. The transportation tax, of course, your poll has started. You spent $40,000 on that, and we'll get more with that. I may make a comment about transportation corridors. We all think of transportation, or we're made to believe, that transportation is about getting goods, services out to I-5. These really should be called commuter corridors, because what it's about is bringing commuters back to Modesto. And it's fair to think about that. So I'm not going to argue or talk about the merits of 132 or the transportation tax, but I do await the results of your survey. Another subject that we talked about here, and that was the subject of prescription drugs that has been proposed by the sheriff of Stanislaus County. And we've talked about the duplication that that program has. I attended a meeting, a forum, where District Attorney Flatiger spoke. And I asked, and I want to just pinpoint and focus this. I asked the question, is that if she was just a lawyer, would she advise her client to turn over their medical records to the sheriff? If you had a client, would you say, in effect, here are my prescription drugs, this is my medical records, and I'm going to put them in a box so that you can dispose of them, even though I could dispose of them at Walgreens drugstore? Okay. The answer, one of the answers was, you could always remove the labels. Well, can you imagine being stopped, pulled over, and the police find vials of pills with no labels on it? I think it's important that this point be made clear, that when people are turning over their prescriptions, medical history, to the police, that is not something that should be done. And the district attorney really didn't have a yay or nay answer for that. So specifically to that question, this board should make some statement. I don't care if it's a letter or what, but somebody should be advising people that turning over your medical history is not a good idea, and that there's a better way of disposing prescription drugs that have to be disposed. My last item is the subject of the wiretaps. We've gone through that. The district attorney's office spent $269,000 on 25 wiretaps. And Supervisor Chiesa, after I left the podium last time, I think you were talking about a defense. You had talked to the district attorney, and the contention of the district attorney's office is that these wiretaps are paid for by the enforcement agencies. I don't think Turlock, City of Turlock, has had one wiretap. I haven't been able to find from Modesto police how many they've had. But we did find one wiretap authorized or requested by the Sheriff's Department, and that was in 2012. And I don't have all the invoices, but it was $27,000, $23,000, $6,000. So I don't have the exact total. But the Sheriff's Department has only asked for one wiretap. The District Attorney's Office has asked for 25. I don't know if that one is part of that. So anyhow, I just wanted to make you aware of AccountableTaxation.com. And we will be very, very active between now and June and after. And we are really excited to find the results of the $40,000 you've spent to give a survey. Thank you for your time.
And thank you for your comments, Mr. Sabatino. Is there anybody else in the audience who'd like to make a public comment at this time on an item that is not on today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will move to consent calendar. Is any member of this board wish to pull an item from consent calendar for a separate vote?
So moved.
Okay, well, just a second here. Does anybody from the audience wish to pull an item from consent? Okay, seeing none, I will now entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motions were made and seconded to approve the consent calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motions carried. So we now move to agenda item B3, consideration and approval of the mid-year financial report. Mr. Risen.
Hey, good morning, board members. We're pleased to present to you this morning the mid-year financial report. This report is, for the most part, a good news story as the economy continues to show some modest signs of improvement. To use discretionary revenue as a guide, we were back in 2007-08, we had about $181.6 million that we received in discretionary revenue. Just 2 years later, we dropped over $41 million to $140.5 million of discretionary revenue. And today, as we present this report and look at our year-end adjustments, we've come about halfway back. We're projecting we'll end the year at about $160 million. So of the $40 million we've lost, we've made up about half of that. But you'll see that we continue to maintain a fair amount of caution and fiscal prudence as we approach the budget. I was listening to an economist the other day, and he said the average economic recovery only lasts about 5 years, and then we're about 4.5 years into it. So that's kind of a scary thought, considering we're only halfway back to where we were in 2007-08 as far as what we lost, and the economic recovery is about 4.5 years in. And you'll see that that kind of proves true to us when you see a slide later on about our discretionary revenue growth, that it's been very slowly climbing for about the last 4 years. So we are going to continue to try to keep our foot off the gas, maintain a very cautious approach as we approach the budget, especially considering we have some major challenges ahead of us. We have all 12 labor agreements expiring June 30th of this year. And as we've shared with you previously, we have a significant gap in our long-range modeling when we look at having to staff the jail expansion in 16-17 and 17-18. One bit of real positive news, though, in this budget is that we've received some realignment growth funds and that will be returned to the general fund, about a little over $2 million. This was funding that the general fund had to make up in prior years, and now that we have the catch-up of this growth funding, we're able to kind of pay back the general fund for some money that it had advanced. As I shared with you previously, we're recommending a growth of about $4 million in our discretionary revenue in this report. And as is the purpose of all these quarterly reports, our goal is to make sure that we keep this organization on track to end the year in a positive fiscal condition, and we are well positioned to do that. I'd like to express my appreciation to the budget team for all their hard work, and to a recently promoted Assistant Executive Officer Jody Hayes, who inherited this thing, well, it was probably 70% along the way. Cindy Tomlinson, our Deputy Executive Officer that leads our budget team. This team just does a great work. I have a lot of confidence in the work that they perform, and so I want to just acknowledge my appreciation to all of you that had a role in this budget, as well as to our department heads and budget managers who continue to do an excellent job in monitoring their budget and keeping that foot off the gas pedal. So at this point, I'd like to turn our presentation over to Ms. Tomlinson.
Thank you, Stan. Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, board members, Mr. Risen, and Mr. Doering. My name is Cindy Tomlinson. I'm with the Chief Executive Office. report before you today is designed to provide a fiscal update since the adoption of the 2013-2014 adopted final budget. We will review recommendations contained in the mid-year financial report, discuss significant challenges that remain, and provide an opportunity for public comment. This year's report continues to be organized around your board's 7 priority areas. As a quick recap, the 2013-2014 adopted final budget that you approved last September totaled nearly $1.043 billion. Throughout the report, you will notice that we analyze what we refer to as the operating budget. In addition to what you approved as part of the final budget, the operating budget includes any spending authority carried over from last year, as well as any changes you've approved since the final budget. Our current operating budget is $1.08 billion prior to any recommended mid-year adjustments and is balanced with the use of $72.9 million of fund balance. That includes prior year appropriations of $23.4 million, net county cost savings of $14.8 million, the use of general fund balance of $6.5 million, and an additional $5.3 million of general fund balance that was necessary for the refunding of the 2004 Series A and B Certificates of Participation, as approved by your board in July of 2013. And finally, it includes a budgeted use of department fund balance of $22.9 million. As recommended today, the 2013-2014 mid-year budget adjustments net $446,559 across all departments for a total adjusted appropriations of $1.08 billion. In the general fund, the recommended mid-year adjustments will increase appropriations by a net of $1.7 million after the $822,000 transfer from appropriations for contingencies necessary to fund the North McHenry Revenue Sharing Agreement. Department revenues will increase by $2.5 million, which would result in a general fund cost savings of just over $741,000. Additionally, as Stan just mentioned, discretionary revenue is projected to increase by about $4 million. As a result, a total of $4.7 million is projected to be added to the unassigned fund balance, or the county's general fund savings account, at year-end for future exposures. Discretionary revenue is projected to be approximately 3% or $4 million higher than the 2013-2014 adopted final budget of $156.1 million. This is largely due to anticipated moderate revenue increases in secured property taxes, property tax in lieu of vehicle license fees, payments in lieu of sales and use tax, and public safety sales tax. Additionally, various revenue sources are showing stronger than anticipated results through the first 6 months of the fiscal year. A total increase of $3.98 million to the budget is requested. The chart before you shows a 5-year comparison of discretionary revenue. In the first 6 months of the fiscal year, $43.8 million have been received, which is within the typical range of revenue received over the past 4 years. For a fair comparison, it should be noted that the chart before you, that the year-end actual revenue for fiscal year 12-13 included one-time revenue of $11.9 million. Of that $11.9 million, $8.4 million was for loan repayment of property tax monies borrowed by the state for the Supplemental Revenue Augmentation Funds pursuant to Proposition 1A, and $3.5 million was for the dissolution of the redevelopment district agencies. Adjusted for this one-time revenue, fiscal year 12-13 revenue was $153.4 million. The projected fiscal year 13-14 revenue of $160.1 million compares favorably by about 4% over the prior fiscal year, adjusted for the one-time revenue. Overall, discretionary revenue growth has averaged just over 3% over the last 4 years, demonstrating slow to moderate growth in support of our general fund department. At this time, I will turn the presentation over to Mr. Hayes.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, CEO Risen, Mr. Doring, members of the board. Jody Hayes from the Chief Executive Office, and I'd like to take you through the department adjustments that we have for our safe community. In the safe community priority area, an overall increase of $599,000 in appropriations is recommended,
We'll take you through some of the actual department impacts that are adjusted in today's budget recommendations. The first one that we'll discuss is the district attorney's office. All prosecutions pass through the district attorney's office, and investigators work closely with prosecutors and law enforcement to prepare their criminal investigations on all cases, whether they're submitted by the city, county, or state law enforcement. We wanted to give you some perspective of the history of the investigations unit and what our recommendations are before you today. In 2008, the department had 17 allocated general fund criminal investigator positions and a caseload of just over 15,000. Between 2009 and 2011, the number of cases decreased, actually, in the district attorney's office by 20%, and the number of criminal investigator positions dropped as well, so there was a corresponding decrease in staffing resources along with the cases. The department has seen a significant increase in cases filed over this last year. Caseloads have rebounded in 2013, growing back to over 15,000. The department currently has 13 allocated criminal investigator positions. However, two of those positions are vacant due to funding shortfalls in the department that are a result of ongoing increases in base costs without any supporting increases in general fund contributions. It should be noted that 86% of the district attorney's budget is related to salary and benefit-related costs, and therefore any increases in base costs that are not funded will likely impact the number of positions which can be filled by the department, and that will also directly impact the prosecution efforts of the district attorney's office. Staff are recommending that full funding of $61,910 to support the district attorney in filling the two existing vacant criminal investigator positions to support this increase in cases. This has been stated by the district attorney as the highest priority in their office and supported by our office as well. The department anticipates fully using all remaining net county cost savings in the current year. We're going to have a discussion a little bit later about the impact of net county cost savings across all departments, but we wanted to note this in the district attorney's office that they will exhaust their savings in the current fiscal year. The district attorney budget is also funded with approximately 13% of federal and state grant funds and revenue received from specific processes performed by the department. We have some technical adjustments in the budget report related to these non-general fund departments as well, the grant-funded programs. In the probation department, the probation department anticipates ending the current fiscal year in a positive position. There are technical adjustments that are recommended to accurately reflect revenue, fund balance, and net county cost within the department that we wanted to talk about for just a moment. The increase in net county cost that you see before you is due to a post-closing adjustment that reclassified a little over $1 million from deferred revenue to actual revenue in the current year. These funds fell into the general fund balance as part of a year-end close of the county's books for fiscal year 12-13. That was an unanticipated post-closing adjustment that was not factored into the current year's budget. The recommended technical adjustment will reduce probation's estimated revenue and increase their net county cost savings to recognize this change in accounting procedures. We view it as a technical adjustment. We also have a technical adjustment in the local community corrections budget that will decrease over $4 million in estimated revenue to reflect the approved use of departmental fund balance. This action was actually approved by your board in July of 2013. However, there was a technical error in the accounting of these funds in the final budget that this recommendation will now correct. The remaining adjustment is in the Corrections Performance Incentive Fund. This is due to an increase in unanticipated revenue in that fund, as well as an increase in appropriations and salary and benefit costs for department employees. Moving to the Sheriff's Department, the Sheriff continues to work toward filling all of the positions in the department, all of their vacancies, and requests an adjustment for overtime costs. The department is also requesting the addition of one confidential assistant 2 position and one administrative clerk 3 position for an additional administrative support for department operations. Both positions are funded through existing appropriations. As mentioned with the district attorney, the sheriff has strategically leveraged their net county cost savings over the last several years to support their department operations and anticipates exhausting those savings in budget year in this upcoming fiscal year 14-15. I'll turn it back over to Cindy.
In the healthy community priority area, an overall decrease of just over $2.5 million in appropriations is recommended. For behavioral health and recovery services, the Stanislaus County Psychiatric Health Facility began operations on March 4th, 2014. The 16-bed inpatient facility, along with enrollment of previously uninsured patients into Medi-Cal expansion or Harvard, California, will assist in reducing costs of hospitalizations that have been depleting the behavioral health fund balance for several years. And as of Sunday, the PUF was full. We're also recommending the addition of one new mental health clinician 2 position in behavioral health services, funded by Medi-Cal revenue and mental health realignment funds, and one new director of volunteer services position in the Mental Health Services Act budget. There are additional technical adjustments in the alcohol and drug budget for supportive services. In the Department of Child Support Services, the department and the district attorney mutually ended a $90,000 contract for investigative services to allow the DA to move the matching general fund dollars to support more critical general fund prosecution services, as Jody mentioned earlier. Additionally, the department entered into a memorandum of understanding with the State Department of Child Support Services and the County of Alameda for call center services. This shift will allow our Department of Child Support to focus on caseloads. The shared service approach has been adopted by many county child support agencies statewide and is encouraged by the state. It is projected the state will reduce our county allocation by about $99,000 to fund this memorandum of understanding for the remaining months of 13-14. The Community Services Agency received approximately $2.1 million in revenue from the original health realignment growth, as Stan mentioned earlier, that will be returned to the county's general fund. The department is requesting to add 10 new Family Service Specialist 2 positions to support the increased call volumes and expanded customer base resulting from the Affordable Care Act. In addition, the department is requesting to add a new Family Service Specialist 3 position to support the Special Investigations Unit. All positions are funded by existing Medi-Cal, CalFresh, which is food stamps, or CalWORKs allocations with no impact to the county's general fund. In the Health Services Agency, there's a decrease in revenue and appropriations of $4.6 million, resulting from numerous factors, including lower than projected patient visits, a planned upgrade to their electronic medical record that will now occur in the next fiscal year, fewer enrollees in the county's local initiative health plan, and the closure of the pharmacy. Additionally, the agency received health realignment growth funding that, along with enrollment of the prior MIA population, medically indigent adult, into the Medi-Cal expansion or covered California, is projected to greatly reduce the remaining exposure of $1.5 million in the indigent health care program. It is recommended to restore one assistant public health officer position to act as the medical director for the California Children's Services Program. This is funded by some terminated personnel service contract and a combination of federal, state, and county dollars as part of the California Children's Services grant. It's also recommended to restore one public health nurse position to provide medical assessments for programs administered by the Community Services Agency, and this position will be funded by the Community Services Agency. Finally, it's recommended to delete one vacant account clerk 3 position in Health Services Agency Administration. At this time, Tara Chumley will present the next two priorities.
Good morning, gentlemen. In the strong local economy priority area, an overall increase of $387,123 in appropriations is recommended. For the library, an increase in estimated revenue is primarily due to increased sales tax receipts, which will fund additional library collection materials and provide literacy services to 160 additional students through LearningQuest. In the Wealthland Infrastructure System priority area, an overall increase of $747,907 in appropriations is recommended. For environmental services, a statewide electronic information system known as the California Electronic Reporting System will be implemented using Decade Software Company's Envision Connect data management system in order to comply with state regulation. In addition, used oil recycling revenue and appropriations will increase slightly. The purchase of one compressed natural gas vehicle to replace an aged CNG vehicle is recommended for Public Works and will be partially funded by a $20,000 public benefit grant that is due to expire this year. The road and bridge budget will receive an increase in appropriations of $665,000 that will be funded with existing fund balance from local transportation funds and PG&E mitigation funds to cover increased road paving. public contract code allows county crews to perform road construction or reconstruction not to exceed 30% of the total value of all work performed by county workforce other than for maintenance, as reported in the State Comptroller's Streets and Roads Annual Report as of January 1 of each year. The county's threshold of 30% would allow work up to a little over $1.4 million in this fiscal year. On July 2, 2013, the board authorized $987,600 of work performed by county crews other than for maintenance. The department requests to use county workforce for other than maintenance for a total of $1,212,600. Now Jody will finish the presentation.
Thank you, Tara. In the efficient delivery of public service priority area, we have an overall increase of just under $1.3 million in appropriations recommended. For the Auditor Controller's Office, following the department reorganization review, it is recommended to restore one accounting technician position and one accountant one position. These positions will be funded with existing department appropriations and will be filled through a department promotional recruitments. At the conclusion of this promotional recruitment, it is anticipated that the Auditor Controller will unfund the two vacancies that result from the position for a net zero gain in positions in the department. The true-up of the North McHenry Revenue Sharing Agreement with the City of Modesto for fiscal year 12-13 requires an additional funding of $822,000 from appropriations for contingencies. This revenue sharing agreement apportions 54% of taxes in the subject area to the city and the remaining 46% to the county. Each year, a true-up analysis is conducted to adjust revenues based on actual receipts at year-end. This recommended adjustment reflects tax receipts which have exceeded prior projections, and therefore the county must share in those additional proceeds with the city. It's actually a good news story that we have to send some of this tax money over to the city. Sales tax and vehicle license fees collected as part of the realignment of health and social service programs are experiencing increases. We have $1.28 million of increased VLF will be distributed to the health and human and social service programs, and $2.1 million in growth funding will be returned to the county's general fund from the Community Services Agency, as highlighted by CEO Risen. The Risk Management Division has experienced increased costs in the administration of the Early Retiree Medical Insurance Program and the Deferred Compensation Benefit Program. As a result, the division is requesting a $39,000 increase in appropriations and expected revenue. This requested increase in appropriations will be funded by additional medical insurance administrative fee revenue from early retirees in the amount of $33,000 and $6,000 in additional revenue from the administrative agreement that we have with MassMutual for the county's Deferred Compensation Program. Due to an increase in the number of vision claims as a result of increased enrollment, the Risk Management Division is also requesting a $50,000 increase in appropriations in the vision and self-insurance budget. This increase in appropriations is requested to fully fund a payment of vision claims through the end of the fiscal year and will be funded by the use of retained earnings. The General Services Agency has recognized the need for a building services supervisor to provide daily oversight of facility maintenance staff that is needed. It is recommended to restore one building services supervisor position to perform this function, and the position will be funded with existing department appropriations. The department anticipates unfunding a separate position upon the retirement of an incumbent later in 2014 for a net zero gain in the overall number of positions allocated to this department. Strategic Business Technology is requesting to double fill one senior systems engineer position for up to 3 months to ensure the continuity of services of the county's network infrastructure at an enterprise level and to allow for a smooth transition of this critical function. This double fill will be funded with the existing department appropriations, and I do just want to note it's not something that we do often here at the organization in double filling positions, but we will do that in critical key positions such as IT in order to maintain those continuity of services. I want to take just a moment to reflect on staffing changes in the mid-year budget. The total current authorized positions at first quarter was 3,935. The position allocation increased by 12 positions since the first quarter report, which brings the position allocation count to 3,923. This included deleting three positions at HSA from the 2013 final budget, deleting 10 positions at HSA due to the pharmacy closure, and adding one position at DER for water resources. recommended in the mid-year financial report are 15 new positions, restoring 5 unfunded positions, and deleting 1 vacant position, resulting in an increase of 19 positions. I also want to note that there were a few additional positions that I mentioned in the presentation that will be brought back at a future board meeting for deletion or unfunding as well. This brings the total recommended positions to 3,942. As you can see, staffing levels are still not quite where they were in fiscal year 2007-2008. Staffing is increasing gradually and cautiously. A majority of the recent growth is due to AB 109, Public Safety Realignment Act, and the Affordable Care Act, positions added for those two specific purposes. Departments are also experiencing higher vacancy rates as the job market becomes more competitive for qualified candidates, and you can see the vacancy rates there on the chart demonstrated. I want to take just a minute to review some of the challenges and opportunities that we see going forward. The first is in our internal audit function. The auditor controller is reviewing the department's ability to restore our internal audit function that was eliminated during the economic downturn. Restoration would occur over a several year period, beginning with 1 or 2 positions in budget year 14-15. The county's fiduciary responsibilities to its community members remain a high priority, and that's why we're focused on the internal audit division. Through the first 4 months of implementation, over 29,000 Stanislaus residents have enrolled in the Medi-Cal program. Additional state initiatives will increase Medi-Cal caseloads, and the county will continue to closely monitor staffing to handle the volume of these calls in our call center. I also want to mention that we're closely tracking the impacts of the Medi-Cal expansion on our MIA population. And as of yesterday, this is a number that changes on a daily basis, but as of yesterday, we had 0 MIA patients here in this county. The AB 900 Phase 2 Public Safety Center expansion project. Facilities are scheduled to be occupied by spring of 2017. A phased opening of the facility will be based on the county's fiscal recovery and annual appropriations, and the estimated staffing costs in today's dollars range from $13.3 million in the initial model to up to $14.6 million in our optimum staffing model. Staff also continue to monitor the impact of the medical self-insurance program and our ability to control ongoing inflation and health care costs. This does represent an exposure to the county as well as all other organizations in this environment. We will return at third quarter with any adjustments to this budget as necessary. Similar to the 2012-2013 fiscal year mid-year financial report, the Public Defender Indigent Defense Fund is showing that it will be short approximately $500,000. Staff will continue to monitor this fund, and if needed, will bring any additional funding requests back to the third quarter financial report. And we continue to explore alternative ways to reduce our indigent defense costs, which have not been fully funded in the current year, but we will be discussing further at third quarter. I just want to touch base on the drought and water management. Governor Jerry Brown officially declared a drought emergency on January 17th of this year. Water agencies are announcing 0 allocations for water deliveries, and the impact of the drought could be severe on the local, state, and national economy. The county has created a drought task force to monitor current conditions and collaborate on the conditions facing the county. We want to spend just a few minutes to talk about our upcoming 2014-2015 budget process and the work that we've done to prepare in anticipation of this upcoming fiscal year. The Net County Cost Savings Program that was put in place during the 2009-2010 mid-year financial report was put in place to provide departments a possible solution for closing budget shortfalls for that current year and beyond. Departments use the savings to deal with reductions in revenue losses and also to address increases in retirement charges and other contingencies. We're going to take a look at a chart here that demonstrates the accumulation of those savings through the years and then what we anticipate going forward. General fund departments have responded well to this Net County Cost Program over the last 4 fiscal years, utilizing strategic budget modeling to support department operations during this period of very limited growth in general fund support. The current fiscal year represents a turning point in the ability of general fund departments to continue to absorb inflationary cost increases without some support from the modest growth we are experiencing in general fund resources that we talked about earlier. You can see from this chart that departments will spend down a large portion of their savings by the end of the current fiscal year, and we anticipate many general fund departments will completely exhaust Net County cost savings sometime in fiscal year 14-15. CEO senior staff are developing a strategy to appropriately fund current levels of service in general fund departments once all net county cost savings have been exhausted, while maintaining an incentive program to allow departments to benefit from continued efficient operations. I just want to note that when you look at those net county cost savings over the last four fiscal years, this has been a success story in the department's abilities to strategically manage their own budgets. However, we also would have anticipated that at some point in time, hopefully our economy would restore, general fund revenues would restore to some degree, or we see some modest increases, which is what we're experiencing now, and the departments would utilize those savings to spend down. And that's essentially the turning point that you see this year as we enter this upcoming fiscal year. So although the chart does show a significant utilization of those savings, that would have actually been what we would have expected early on when developing the program, is that you develop those savings accounts and then eventually you use them when the time is right. And it certainly has been a right time for our departments. In order to develop a revised general fund allocation and saving incentives program, the 2014-15 proposed budget in June will be a rollover of this year's adopted final budget, appropriations minus the net county cost savings carry forward, plus any new budget units added since the adoption of the final budget. The proposed budget will be an interim spending plan until the final budget is adopted in September. This is a new approach to us. It has been implemented in our county as early as, I guess, the 1999 to 2000 budget. It's not a common approach, but in this year, we feel that this would be the most appropriate approach for us to address this upcoming budget and allow us to put in place a new phase two of the Net County Cost Savings Program going forward. The county's budget can be viewed on our website at www.stamcounty.com as indicated there. And there are six staff recommendations for your consideration today. First is to accept the Chief Executive Officer's mid-year financial report for fiscal year 2013-2014, authorize the CEO and the Auditor Controller to make the necessary adjustments as recommended in the mid-year financial report, authorize the use of $822,000 in appropriations for contingencies as recommended in the report by 4/5 vote of the Board of Supervisors, declare the intent to use the board's authority under Public Contract Code Section 22031 to allow county workforce to perform work on the following projects, Charles Street and Sperry Road, and amend the salary and position allocation resolution to reflect the recommendations included in the report. Those are all outlined in our staffing impacts on Attachment B. And approve contracts and or agreements listed on Attachment C in cumulative amounts of $100,000 or greater since July 1st of 2011. And with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. We also have our county department heads available and department budget staff that have worked very hard on this mid-year report. We thank all of them and their efforts, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Is any member of this board have a question for staff at this time? Supervisor O'Brien.
Mr. Chairman, I have two questions. I both reside in Child Support Services Department. Just want to understand this better. On the $90,000 drawdown for investigative services, is that what the true cost of doing that is? Are we drawing down 100% of those costs?
Supervisor O'Brien, we were not drawing down 100% of the cost of that position. The district attorney was supporting about a quarter of the cost. And with their increasing caseloads, they believe that they were better served using those funds for a position within their department.
Okay, the drawdown federal funds, are we able to draw that down in other programs or other services?
I would have to defer that to Tamara Thomas, our Director of Child Support Services. Morning, board members, Supervisor O'Brien. We can draw down federal financial participation match dollars with general fund contribution. So for every third of general fund monies, we can draw down 2/3, but it has to be used for child support services.
Okay. And then my second question has to do with the call center. So in the past, we've been answering those phone calls.
That's correct.
And now Alameda County is going to answer those phone calls.
That's correct.
It's going to take away $99,000 because of that.
Correct. They're going to shift those funds over to Alameda County.
Where's your reduction appropriations? How are you cutting that $99,000?
Well, here we have plenty of allocation. As a result of our furloughs, we're going to use the underspent dollars that we have this year to move our 8 caseworkers into caseloads for non-paying child support cases. So our hope is that we don't expend that $99,000.
and it just sits on the books, we can now redirect our resources over to those caseworkers into caseloads so that they can work non-paying cases and not have to bear the cost of call center child support officers manning those calls.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Any member of the board have further questions of staff at this time? Any member of the audience wish to make a comment at this time or ask questions of staff? And Mr. Sabatino.
I attended the forum, Campaign Stop, by District Attorney Flatiger, and, excuse me, it was revealed that in the investigators, there are 14 deputy investigators. One-third to one-half are retirees from other agencies, police, sheriff's department. One member of that investigative staff is on a 100% disability from the city of Pittsburgh. The district attorney made it known that she had a tremendous need for prosecutors. In this report, I didn't see any request for more prosecutors, although it was revealed that they have hired two young prosecutors, and very happy about that because it brought new energy to the office. So these are just, excuse me, some of the additions of I would like the board or the or Stan to look at when it comes to how much money you're budgeting. There was another thing, and maybe it's the state of our situation. The district attorney attended this meeting with two undercover investigators and left the meeting followed by the two undercover investigators. Is there any reason to believe that that is a necessary thing in Stanislaus County? I will tell you that as mayor, for 1 year, I did have support. I did have a bodyguard only for July 4th parade. So other than that, I was safe. But those are just some comments I'd like to make. The other thing that I learned this morning that disturbs me is the trend is that you destroy, literally, the public defender's office. That you're looking for ways to cut it even more. Now, what the district attorney has stated flatly is the need for more prosecutors. Maybe some of these investigators could be fully retired, sent back to agencies or wherever, and other law enforcement officials, other prosecutors be hired. If you have any questions, I'll stay. If not, thank you.
I didn't see any questions. Thank you, Mr. Sabatino.
Mr. Eisen. Yeah, if I could just respond to one thing, that is in relationship to public defender indigent defense budget. This is, well, we call it public defender in the title. This indigent defense fund is separate from the public defender's offices. When we have to contract for private counsel, and I've made it clear ever since the final budget that we knew that this would probably come up short and that we would have to fund it by the end of the year. We have to fund whatever level of service it is. And so we don't regulate how much the court appoints private counsel or what they're going to charge on cases. We just monitor it and we try to be as efficient to make sure that we look at the bills and that they're appropriate. So the board's been fully aware that we may need additional funding. We funded it at the levels that it was at about a year and a half, 2 years ago when caseloads were down. And we were hoping to create some efficiencies where we wouldn't have to pump it back up to where it was before. But unfortunately, it looks like it's going to need some additional funding. So this is not the public defender's budget.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I do want to comment also that the county is very, very good about releasing public records. and about explaining what Stan just explained. Thank you very much.
Any other member of the audience wish to comment on the budget or ask questions of staff? Okay. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for direction. Supervisor Monteith.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that I agree that the economy has come back to some degree. I still question the fact of the stability of the return of the economy, which I have indicated in some of our votes in the past where I have disagreed and it's been 4-1. On the other hand, I also am very aware that I am one of 5 votes. And this board has taken directions to go in certain ways, and so now I believe that what we do is now we get back together and find the best way to resolve and do be the most effective and efficient as we can in the decisions of this board. You know, I really appreciate what we call the rollover, where the budget will be reviewed in September. And the reason I really appreciate that is the fact that we do have labor negotiations that we are confronted with, which have not started to a large degree. We also have the governor's budget, and there's the May revise, which means what has been said may not mean anything, which then takes us into state and federal funds, which we don't know what the mandates will be. We will not know what the monies will be. There will be some funded, there will be some unfunded mandates. And so I really believe that having this rollover and the final review of the budget being in September is the wisest and most appropriate way to address this. And even though as I may differ in some of the areas, I think it's time for us to go forward and do the best we can and do the best we can for Stanislaus County. So even though I have had no votes, I am voting for this budget as stated. Thank you.
Hey, Supervisor Chiesa.
Well, I'm just going to make a motion if there's no more comments. Okay, I'd like to make a motion. We approve all staff recommendations.
Okay, the motion has been made to approve staff recommendations 1-6. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion is carried unanimously 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we have no scheduled matters today. We will move to correspondence.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? And legislative and fiscal management report, Mr. Risen?
No report this morning.
Okay, being no further business, this meeting is adjourned.